If you are interested in the property market, be you an estate agent, be you a letting agent, or just someone who's interested in what's happening in the property market, then this, the UK Property Market Stats Show, is for you. If you look at all the other indexes that are out there, the Land Registry, we're looking at data from 8 or 9 months ago, the Halifax and Nationwide data from 3 or 4 months ago. We're looking at house prices, we're looking at new instructions, we're looking at sales agreed and everything else from last week. So we know what's happening in the property market and we're going to share that with you. My name is Chris Watkin, and each week I bring a special guest, and this week it is the absolutely awesome Verona Frankish, who is the boss lady of Yopa, who's one of the biggest estate agents in the UK. Verona doesn't know about estate agency isn't worth talking about. So Verona, thanks for joining us today. For
My pleasure, as always.
week 18 of the
Can you
UK
believe
Property
it?
Rumble. I know it. Doesn't the time fly? Anyway,
Flying.
so ladies and gentlemen, how will this show work? So for the first half of the show, we'll be looking at the UK property market. And then the second half, we zero in on a town or a city and really deep dive and look at that property market, particularly looking at the estate agents and letting agents in that town and how well they are performing. Almost like a Rightmove Plus report on steroids. And this week, we are going to the beautiful city of Wolverhampton in the West Midlands. Have you ever been there, Verona?
I have indeed. Yes, I have been not many times, but I have it. I don't know it very well, but we do have agents there, so I'm interested to have a look. So yeah, be
It is
good.
a beautiful city,
Yes.
it is where I won. I'm still the reigning national BML champion for the Round Table.
Oh wow. In with Wolverhampton. Well, there you go.
It
Your
was
claim to
held in
fame.
Wolverhampton about 8 years ago. They've not run it since. I think
Is that why you're the reigning champion?
indeed I am. And basically, ladies and gentlemen, it's a competition where you're at a 400 meter track. It's a pint. With a pint, you can't. The gun goes off. You can't leave until you've had the pint. Go around the track. There's another pint waiting. Can't go until you've had that. You do that 4 times. If you're not very well, you get disqualified. And also, youngsters ran off like gazelles. And how can we say, and
No one steady wins the race.
the big lad walked in and won the race. But there you go.
Love that.
It's the only national award I've ever won, and I'm very proud of it. Anyway, people have not come to listen to talk about me. Oh, by the way, it is on video. Yes, it has. It is on video. But anyway, we're not here.
Amazing. I'll have to look for that one.
Right then. So, week 18 is Monday, the 29th of April, all the way through and to include Sunday, the 5th of May. God, isn't time flying on? So, what we're going to
For
do is,
real.
Verona, is let's dive in and have a look at the Stan and Rooney's. So, as always, ladies and gentlemen, we always start off with the listings. And what I'll do is I'll just spend a minute or so just going through these stats, and then Verona can give her feedback. So, this week we listed as a country 41,392 properties with an average asking price of 563,936. Year to date, we are on 634,000 properties. Which, to give you an idea, is 10.7% ahead of last year's figure of 572,860, and 9.8% ahead of the more normal years of 17, 18, and 19. Okay, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts on these?
Well, I think it's really encouraging, is the word I would use. It's really encouraging to see that all the indicators that we want to see going north are going north. So listings have been consistently growing over, well, since the start of this year, I guess, bar a bit of a dip in February. But since March, we've really started to really grow, which is fantastic and really, really encouraging to see. I think the average listing price is also growing. So that's probably one. We'll come on to talk about that, I'm sure, in a little bit. But that's probably one I have a little bit of a red flag about. So house prices are maintaining well, and listings volume are maintaining well. So I think,
We're going to have a dip next week because it is one of the
of
feast
course.
best bank holidays. And as you can see on the graph now, ladies and gentlemen, is that we had that dip at Easter, and Easter was quite early this year. And we will have two further dips, one of which will be next week, which will be week 19, and then the next one in the show, which will be early June for the last bank holiday in May. So
I think
don't.
it's fair to say, Chris, that Easter this year, quite often Easter, because it straddles 2, 3 weeks, you often see a bit of a catastrophic impact on Easter. I think considering it was earlier this year and it was finished at the end of March, we did see a reasonably really strong kind of return in April. So I think we haven't had as potentially catastrophic an impact on the market across the Easter period this year, which is great. You're right, the bank holiday is coming up this week and then also at the end of May. So let's hope we have a similar picture for those as well for the market, because we need as much momentum as we can right now. I think that's really, really important.
And again, I know we've said in the last previous shows, but we do have a general election coming up. And what tends to happen is everything goes on hold for a month because they have to, the minimum amount of time between announcing it is around a month. But then what you tend to find, ladies and gentlemen, as long as there's not a hung parliament, which again, polls suggest that won't happen, but if there was a hung parliament, we'd have th this wouldn't happen. But normally, if there's a strong winner, what tends to happen is that the losses made up in the month before the election tend to get made up in a couple of months after the election, and then she settles down.
I think it's going to be interesting, you know, this year on the election, because I'm not a political commentator by any means, but I think it's reasonably confident about what the outcome is going to be of this election, probably more so than we have been for some time. And I think as a consequence of that, perhaps the outcome and therefore the impact on the market and the economy will be diminished, because we're pretty clear about where the outcome is going to be. And I'm hoping that that is the case.
I don't think it will be as strong for Labour as people think it will be, but it will still be
Well,
a, they'll still have
the
a.
by-elections have suggested that, right? So we've seen a bit of an uptick, but not anywhere near as strong as perhaps they would have wanted.
Okay, let's now move on and look at price reductions. And this week we have reduced 23,738 properties, which works out that we are reducing one in 6.24% of properties. To give you an idea, the just before COVID, in the years we were reducing on average of one in 7.5. So we are reducing a few more properties because stock levels are, a little bit higher compared. Now, I haven't produced them for this show because I only just got them this morning, but stock levels are in line with where I would expect, where there is a net growth of properties for sale, but nothing that is out of line compared to what I would expect. But more of those next week, ladies and gentlemen, when I have the time to have a look at them. So the next one is the average price of a property being reduced is £415,000. I don't think there's much more we can say about that. Again, do you think one in 6.24 houses is enough to be reducing?
Do you know, I think this is probably out of all the data that we've got here, Chris, this is probably the one that I have I suppose the little bit of concern about, which is asking prices are increasing, as we know. Price changes are increasing, albeit that SSTC rates are also increasing. So, you know, we are selling, which is great. Yeah, that graph there is the one that I probably am a little bit concerned about. I think once those two lines start to the gap between the two of them get bigger, I think that's a little bit of a red flag, because I think there's still too much overvaluing going on. And there's so much evidence, as we know, to suggest that unless you price it you know, as close to market value as possible, then it diminishes the chance of that property selling. And understand that that is definitely a conversation between seller and agent, but I still am seeing far too much of agents overvaluing to get the listing and then to an extent diminishing the customer's opportunity to sell.
I mean, this particular graph here shows the average listing price in week 18 compared to the average price of a property selling.
Yeah.
This is the average, the asking price of a property when she went and sold, submitted a contract. Notice that, you know, look, she's gone from 428 in 22, 448, 463, but the average price selling has almost remained constant at around that 370 mark.
Exactly.
Now, again, 370 in London is different to 370 in Scotland. But fundamentally, and again, I used to analyse all the different regions. And that took my work for, you know, I had to like do 12 regions and the UK stuff. And what is really weird is this, apart from inner London, which is a law to itself, everything moves up and down like a tide. There's no, it really is weird. Just everything does all that. Just so there's kind of no point in doing the regional stuff unless I spot something. But fundamentally, this gap here is this week at 24.9%.
Yeah.
You know, the long term, that's 16 or 17%. Some of that has got to be because higher priced properties have a lower chance or a lower propensity.
Of course.
Well, but some of that is overvaluing. And we will be coming to some stats in a minute with regard to pounds per square foot. The average pound per square foot of a listing is going up like a bloody rocket. Whilst whilst the average pound per square foot at sale agreed is increasing, it is not.
But you just have to look at the trends in this graph. You know, yes, the bottom line, the average SSC price is increasing gradually, but the gradient in the top line is increasing much more significantly. So for me, that is definitely something we need to be aware of. And ultimately, you know, this definitely this impacts our ability to fulfill our customers' needs, which is to sell their property. None of us get any prizes for listing. It's whether we're, you know, following through on our promises.
Indeed. Just for anyone who's not watched the show before, that big red jump there is everyone in, that's London. You see, what tends to happen is this: London property market goes to sleep during the summer, everywhere else
that's right.
And then when it comes back, then everyone dumps their houses on the market, hence the average, pardon me, the average price went up through the roof.
Absolutely. Maybe some of the top line, I don't know the data on this, Chris, but maybe some of the top line is London, maybe we're getting more volume in London, which is again skewing the top line for listings, because it definitely will have an impact given the price differential versus the rest of the country.
It's amazing what London does to the price. I was doing some stats, as I know you're aware, but some people might not. My daytime job is not talking to people on the sofa. I'm a property statistician and I write content for agents. And what is particularly interesting is that 13% of the UK live in London, but over 33, 34% of rental properties are in London. And that
I heard this stat last week. I was quite surprised about that, actually. Yeah.
And because the numbers are so weird, I mean, I worked out the average rent in London, UK, England and Wales, or UK excluding London, and it adds on like adds another 30% to the figure.
It is
amazing. But again,
ask anybody who's trying to get on the ladder in London. I'm sure they'd be able to tell us very, very clearly the differential.
What is particularly interesting is that London has actually got like two rings. You've got the donut in the centre, which is the core, which is WSWSEN and E. But then you've got the other bits that are around, which is more the suburbia, the Harrows of this world. It's like a two different marketplace. But anyway, let's carry on. Let's get back to gross sales. So this week, the number of gross sales is 27,591. Now, just to give you an idea, you know, last week it was 27,712. So that is basically 100 more. Okay. That last week was the best week for sales since July 2022. And we're only 100 down from that.
Yeah. You know,
that is really good stuff, isn't it?
That's good. I think for me, this is definitely the most encouraging of all the data, because there's a clear trajectory on SSTC. And I think we are I think this is an indicator that actually, in lots of cases, pricing is done well. Price changes are done at the right times, accurately, in order to get the property sold. So yeah, I think that's really, really encouraging. And it's also, you know, that is going back to this data and how an agent should be using this data. That is a brilliant story in the lounge for customers. It's going to move those who are considering sussing out the market, potentially thinking about it for now or later on in this year, you know, riding that crest of that wave and capitalizing on buyers being back, motivated buyers with funds to do so, is brilliant data that you can use in the lounge in order to encourage an on the fence seller to jump off the fence and into the market whilst we head into prime time.
You're absolutely right. And again, you know, graphs like this, you know, more houses are coming on the market, so there's greater choice. You know, it's all about yep. the approach to the graph.
Exactly. It's the story, right? It's the story.
Of course. And ladies and gentlemen, what I would say is this. These graphs are fully available to download. If you go to the YouTube, or if you're watching this, and in the description at the bottom, there's a little link. And I'm more than happy for you to use them at the valuations. All I ask is that you don't use them on social media. I need to hold something back for my client, fee-paying clients, who use these graphs and other local graphs to aid them to attract landlords and vendors. But you can use them on the valuations without putting them on social media with my blessing. Okay, so let's look at gross sales year to date. So we're on 432,000, which is 10.8% further higher than 23, which was at 390,400. And we are at 8.2% further on. No, let me get myself start again, Watkin. 10.8% further on than 23, and 8.2% further on than the normal years of 17, 18, and 19. Again, I think you wouldn't have thought this was going to happen, would you? Definitely not.
Exactly. Look back over the last year and all the doommonger predictions about what was going to happen with house prices, what was going to happen with our ability to sell, stock levels, etc. And it just hasn't materialized, thankfully. And you know, I think without blowing smoke, Chris, I think, you know, shows like this, surfacing data to help agents have the right conversations, timely conversations, because to your point, if you take the data that happened 6 months ago, or you know, the 4 months ago even, you're missing opportunities, whereas accurate, timely data is helping us paint a picture that is challenging the naysayers with evidence, with data, with analysis that helps them understand that actually it's not quite that bad. So the more of us who are having those conversations, whether that's on YouTube, whether that is in the industry press, whether that's in the daily press and in the living room, that will help customers to understand that it's not anywhere near as bad as potentially it may have been. And all of those things are contributing to house prices maintaining. So yeah, I think it's a really solid picture. And I know we'll come on to talk about follow through shortly, but of course, gross sales and net sales are massively important because it takes into account the follow throughs. And yes, I think we've seen a little bit of a tick up over the last couple of weeks and fall throughs, but as a percentage of total listings, it's not massively out of kilter. So I think that, you know, again, really solid and encouraging data.
Okay, so now we're coming to fall throughs. So
yeah,
we've had a slight uplift in fall throughs.
Yes.
So again, if you're a doommonger and you want some stats, then ladies and gentlemen, here we are.
Zoom in on that one.
Here is your stats, okay? But what we've got to remember is this. It's all about there are more sales taking place. Let's just remind ourselves here, okay? There are more sales, which means if there's more sales, there's more fall-throughs. Okay? So the fall-through rate this week is, let me just put it up, 22.37%, which is very, very similar to what it was last week. Okay. I think it was around 21, 22. Let's just pull the stats up. There you go. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, like I say, you know, that's the number really that matters is the fall throughs as a percentage of gross sales. And you know, if you look at that, 22% outside of a period in early 23, we've not been anywhere close to those numbers for a long period of time. So I think that's a really solid number. And of course, fall throughs are can happen for various reasons, and they typically will go back on the books again to sell again. And you know, some of that might be funding because it is tighter now compared to what it was over the last few years. But there's clear and strong evidence that the trend is heading in the right direction. So I think that's the thing that we should be concerned about. And as long as we're it's in proportion to sales increasing, listings increasing, and stock staying at a level that we're comfortable with, then I think you know that's a solid number.
Yeah, just to help, I 100% agree with you on this one. Just in case everyone wants to where these stats come from, that was the certain budget in 20 late 22, which I'm sure no one's heard of. Ignore the Christmas spikes because it's a percentage. We're dealing with such low numbers, the spikes go through the roof. Then throughout early 23, it was just hovering around that 21, 22. And then as we went into the summer, we started to see an increase in the fall throughs because mortgage rates were starting to rise. And then a nice and steady drift down throughout Q3, Q4 last year. Christmas spike again. And again, we've been bumbling around the 20 to 22 mark since. And unless nothing else happens, I can't see that changing.
Agreed.
Again, the long-term average is 24.28%. And that's the number of fall-throughs that we've had this week. Okay. Ready to move on to net sales?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, net sales is this. Gross sales for the week, fall throughs for the week, and one taken away from the other. So if you've got 100,000, if you've got 30,000 sales and 5,000 fall throughs, 30 minus 5 is 25. That's your net sales. And this week, in terms of our net sales, we are on 21,419. To give you an idea, the average this year, and I'll just pull that up. Has been for the year so far 18,840. Okay. So we are nicely ahead of the game compared to other, and I just thought I'd just zero in on that one. So the orange line is the average of 17, 18, and 19, and the pink line is the average of 23, and we are ahead of those years.
And I think that's, you know, phenomenal. Really, we're only behind the peaks of COVID in 2020 and 2021. But even in, oh, sorry, 2022, we're not even massively behind in 2022 because the peaks are more exaggerated, peaks and troughs are more exaggerated. And I think it's hugely encouraging that that is performing much better than the average of what we would consider if there is such a thing as normal, but also last year as well. So, you know, that's obviously a testament to the things we mentioned earlier, that gross sales are strong, fall-throughs haven't gone off the charts, and we're keeping chains together, which is great.
Indeed. So, in terms of a cumulative net sales year to date, 339,000 is 12.5% further on than 23, and 5.4% further on than the average of 17, 18, and 19.
If you look at it in cold hard numbers, you know, that's a significant uplift versus all of those normal years, take 21 and 22 aside. So yeah, I think there's a lot of happier agents. And this is not to negate the fact that the last couple of years have been really challenging, and there's a lot of effort and work going into getting pricing right. And also because a lot of the agents who are training trading over the last couple of years haven't traded in normal for a significant period of time, and many have not actually traded in normal ever because maybe they've joined a state agency in the, you know, since 2019. We're getting back to what would be considered a more normal, robust market, and you know, it's great that businesses are seeing more green shoots for the future, I think, than perhaps we have done over the last couple of years.
I mean, you take COVID out, we've got the best year since records began.
Exactly.
I mean,
Fantastic. Yeah.
doesn't feel that way. And I think
No.
this is where, ladies and gentlemen, you need the data to back up sentiment.
Yep. Yep.
You can't run a business on sentiment. Cold hard facts.
I think that the challenging thing with all of that, Chris, is that costs to run an estate agent have escalated significantly since, say, 2017.
Ah, I can get you on this one. All
Oh,
right.
you have? Go on then.
House prices have risen by the same amount as inflation. Nearly, damn it. And if you're on a percentage fee, so your fee should have gone up.
Yeah, if you're on a percentage fee, which of course I
Yes.
guess the majority are. But of course, then the cost of doing business, supplier costs, staffing costs, et cetera, all of those things have also escalated.
Yes.
So if your fee has only risen in line with the house price as a percentage, then that doesn't necessarily mean that all of your costs have also been managed to the same ratio.
I agree, and this, I'm just scrolling through a stat which just absolutely blew my mind.
Are you going to pick up the negotiator stat that Ian Preston shared last week?
Yes, I am.
I saw it posted on LinkedIn, and I know he talked about it at an ICG event last week. And I thought that was really, really interesting. You know, because for someone who has a team of over 100 people employed, wage inflation is a challenge, you know, to run a business. It's a challenge. But I also see that it's a challenge for individuals trying to manage their bills that are rising with inflation and their salaries are not. So yeah, it's a fascinating debate, that one. Probably not one for this show, but
No, but
I wanted to call it out.
just to share with everyone the stats. In 2015, this is salary, not commission.
Yeah.
The average next salary was 22, but the minimum wage was 44. Was 14. So minimum wage 14, average neg 22, which means there was 58% difference. Today, the average salary of a neg is 26.3, and the minimum wage is 23.8, which means that for around £1 an hour, you can either go and do a job where, a nice simple job, or you
Yeah.
can get, the being a negotiator, it's one of the most stressful things. Everything you do is wrong. Everyone shouts at you. You have the emotional roller coaster. Is that worth it? Okay, there's a bit of commission on there, but it's not groundbreaking stuff,
And it's also not guaranteed. And in a market like we have now, where we are selling and we are achieving prices, then perhaps that's working. But you know, this comes back to our long-term view of what the market looks like, how we value the people, how we value what we pay our people in this sector. And it's a definitely a real debate that for the longer term we absolutely must address.
Indeed. I mean, just to give you an idea, if negs had risen by the same percentage as the minimum wage, the average neg salary would be £37,600.
Yeah, and you know, tell me how many estate agents can afford to increase neg salary to that extent. Yeah, exactly. So therein lies our challenge. It's a conundrum.
If you ever, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever do get the chance to listen to Ian Preston's high skill, high tech approach to estate agency, it certainly is worth half an hour of your time. Okay, let's just look at some final stats. Those are the net sales. We can see what ha something happened in 2020. I'm not too sure. No, we do.
We all had a sabbatical. Absolutely.
I do say that with respect, but it just shows you the effect of the market. Gross sales as a percentage. So basically, we are this week we sold two in three of everything that we listed, not that came on the market, but in terms of a percentage. Price changes, as I said, the long-term average is that we are, as a percentage of listings, 57, that's quite high. But again, it's been similar over the years. New graph for you. Are you ready for a new graph?
Oh, I love a new graph.
So the orange line are the number of properties that are for sale, and the green line shows you the number of properties in agents' pipelines. Okay.
Okay.
And then just to show you that we put the same it, but now we proportionalize
Yes.
whatever's the word. So again, just shows you here that in 2020, the proportion of properties that were sold subject to contract, at one point you got down to around 44%, and at the moment we're around 62%, 63%. So these are new graphs which are going to be updated on a monthly basis to give you a flavour of what stock you've got in the drawer versus. Mm-hmm. So just to give you an idea, if we are on around 40% in the green, which is sales pipeline, versus 60%, that still is generally in the UK a biased market now.
Yep.
My daytime job is I'm a property statistician. We've got the stats for every postcode around the UK, and the variance around the UK is unbelievable.
Yeah. And that's where something like this really comes into its own. It's at a local level. It's decent to look at it at a macro level, but you really need to, as an agent, understand your local market, because that's really, really insightful. But at a macro level, it's not as valuable, I suppose, to an agent. But I think it's great to see the trends, and we can see where we were in trouble because we just did not have enough stock. Yeah, exactly. At a local level, it's more valuable.
Yeah, this is the sort of stuff that I produce for agents on a weekly basis. And again, this is just showing you Grantham as an example, that you can see the sort of thing that where. And again, what is particularly strange is that you've got two postcodes next to each other, and the numbers, the variance would be quite a bit. Okay,
yeah,
let's get back to the national stat arenas, because that's what we're here for. Right, okay, so I know we touched on this briefly, because the nationwide figures haven't come out. But one thing that I have noticed is that on a national basis, if you measure the pound per square foot at sale agreed, which is the orange line, it will match the land registry 5 months in advance.
Yeah.
To an 98% correlation. Can't say that word. Rate. So what that means is this. If you watch this show, ladies and gentlemen, and I haven't updated it for April yet. However, the stats are absolutely fine. It'll take me a couple of days to get that sorted out. But the bottom line is this, is that nationwide drop was foretold, because the nationwide does follow. Most of them tend to follow them over a couple of months. That was foretold. The stats that are going to be coming out in the next few months are all upwards. It's the orange line compared to the green exchanged and completion line. But we talked about earlier on about the pound per square foot at listing. What the hell has happened to that renegade child of the red line? New listings. That's getting a bit. Got to be overvaluing.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, again, back to the point about regionality, I don't know how much of that is about the volume in London that's affecting this numbers, but nationally, there's got to be an element of overvaluing in there. And you know, I think, look, this is an opportunity now. And if any estate agent is looking at capitalizing on the next 3 or 4 months, because in reality, the next May, June, July, probably August, depending on the property, depending on the area, if you're not selling, and I don't mean listing, I mean selling, then you're not getting in before Christmas, right? So it's making sure that prices are accurate to sell in order for us to get everything over the line before Christmas for our customers. So that is a little bit of a red flag, again, alluding back to what we talked about earlier.
So, isn't that interesting? So my week article the week before looked at how long every town took to sell the property, and the average date that you had to have the house sold by was the third week in May.
Third week in May, that's frightening.
Isn't that absolutely frightening? And we were able to work it out for all the different towns. I did get it in the neck because of the graphics we were producing had pictures of Christmas trees and Father Christmas is on.
I mean, we've only just got out of it, Chris. No, let's not go. They haven't even had a summer holiday yet. I refuse.
There you go. Anyway, that is the end of the national picture, ladies and gentlemen. We are now going to go to Wolverhampton. For the purposes of this, we're going to be using a set of data from a firm called 20EA. And I know you're a bit of a fan of those, aren't you, Verona?
Big fan. Love it.
#fangirl, #fanboy. Trend EA have many platforms. The platform we're using is Insights. What I would say, ladies and gentlemen, is even if you are not in Wolverhampton, which is where we're going to, do watch it because there is so much data in here which proves that you are a better estate agent. It proves that your competitors are overvaluing. It proves how many houses do you list versus what you actually sell, your chances of actually getting someone away. Amazing bit of data. I must stress to you that I've not been paid by 20 EA for this. And as Verona, we won't mention figures for on a national, it's not cheap. On a local basis, it is, but on a big national basis, it depends. It's like most things. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. And
Absolutely.
this
It's
is
about value.
gold standard data. What I would say to you, ladies and gentlemen, on a local basis, because it's all about if you can have up to 10 postcodes, it is extremely reasonable in its pricing. I'm not going to mention the pricing because I'm not on commission, although I bloody well should be. But I pride myself in not taking kickbacks from anyone. And ladies and gentlemen, let us go and have a look at the 20 EA data for Wolverhampton. Here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's kick off with Wolverhampton. Just so you're aware, the postcodes that I'm using is W1, 10, 11, 2, 3, 4, and 6. Some of those postcodes have little outlying little townettes, and that will be dragged into these figures. But fundamentally, Wolverhampton's big enough and ugly enough to look at the core of that. So, what we're going to do is let's dive in and let's really go for it. So, are you ready, Verona? What I'll do is you just jump in.
Great.
Okay, so we are looking. So this, ladies and gentlemen, is like a Rightmove Plus report on steroids with a few Saturn V strapped to it. This will last about 20 minutes, and this is quite simply the most in-depth market share analysis that you'll ever see in your life. Here we go. So we are looking at between the 1st of January 2019 and the 6th of May. Okay, in that time, in those postcodes, 19,265 properties have come onto the market in Wolverhampton. Well, let us have a look at each individual agency and see how their market share on new listings has changed over that time. Flag up anything. We like to look at the upper quartile, so flag up anything that screams on the average property. So we start off with
I'm
Connell.
interested that the average price in Wolverhampton is 233, so it'd be interesting to see what the upper quartile looks like in Wolverhampton.
Yes, what we might look at is the upper quintile, which is the upper fifth, but
Yes.
we'll see how we get on, okay? Knowing what I know of Wolverhampton, there might only be a really top, but we'll see what that happens on that. So firstly, we're going to kick off with Connell Sequence, and that's really good actually. Their market shares grow from 10% to around 15%. So well done. Pardon me, their average price is at 208, so they obviously
They're getting their share of the bread and butter property, aren't they?
indeed.
208. Yeah.
Okay, let's go and have a look at Your Move, which are now obviously franchised. They might have been franchised before, don't know. And that's been hovering around that 7% mark. Nice, slow and steady, isn't it? Again,
Yep.
211, bread and butter stuff. Let's go and look at Purple Bricks. So they had a decent market share, didn't they? Around the 10% mark, but
They
slowly
did.
drifting away. Interestingly, and I know you're aware of this because they are, a competitor of yours, Purple Bricks market share seems to be growing slightly in the last few months. So just be aware of that.
It is. The only thing I would just add to that is, though, if you add the two brands that have joined together, they still haven't caught up with their combined market share previously.
There you go. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. I told you she knows her stuff. Berryman Eaton, and it looks like their market share has been slowly growing up. And look at the average price. They look like probably the agent
They do.
that deal with the middle to upper end. So well done, Berryman Eaton. Let's go and look at Skits. Again, a nice steady.
Similar picture.
Okay.
Although different sector of the market, though. Average price 197. But clearly gaining share in that.
So what I've just done there is I've moved it back to the 30th of April because again, a couple of days you might just get a false
You get a
negative.
more accurate place. Yeah, you
Yeah,
do.
okay. So I don't think that happened, but we'll keep it at that now. Let's go look at DB Roberts. You seem to be
pretty steady. Pretty
nice
steady,
and
I'd say.
steady. Okay, let's go look at Dixon's. Again, just nice and
Sort
steady.
of dropped a bit, but then come back up again. Yeah, so.
Thomas Harvey. They had a party week that week. I bet they were chuffed a bit.
First to 12, first to the 12. Yeah, that's probably Boxing Day launch, I would have said. That's probably monthly
Could
stat,
be.
isn't it?
Could be, but then did Connells have that?
No, not so much.
That's just here we go. They're right, hold on a second. There you go. So
First to the 12. Yeah.
Connells Secrets Group always have their Boxing Day. And if you look at
Yeah.
the national stats, they have a massive
Big
uplift.
spike.
Big spike. It's like a metronome, and it just happens. And is it right? Is it wrong? I think it's a great listening tool, you know.
We do, and again, across our business, we have some agents who absolutely swear by it and do it every year, and others who don't. So, yeah, it really depends.
Okay, Thomas Harvey. Okay, again, nice to step. Well, we've just done
So,
that. Peter James, see what they're doing. Looks like they had a good month there as well. Okay,
Oh,
let's.
you're still on Thomas
Oh,
Harvey.
sorry.
That was still on Thomas Harvey.
Peter
Yeah,
James.
that's Peter
Okay.
James. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
Okay.
very steady.
Sanders, Wright and Freeman sounds like a
A
sumo.
solicitor firm.
Okay. A general, okay. I mean, it looks like they had a good COVID year, then dropped back down.
Yeah.
Must have been
Just a
growing.
bit more
Yes.
steady then.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yopa. Here we go. Let's have a look at Yopa. Actually, that's really good, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, that business is good. For how very dare you for us. We've got some fantastic agents in Wolverhampton. So yeah. Lisa and Johnny, shout out to you both. Yeah. Again, sort of a gradual improvement over the last couple of years, which is
That,
great.
that was
Good to
that was
see.
that was I must stress that when I say that for you, I'm just saying it was for you, but I know it could be, so my apologies, it wasn't.
It's fine. I have broad shoulders.
There's Belvoir. Okay.
I mean, what's interesting here is it doesn't seem to be anybody significantly losing share or anybody significantly growing share. It seems like everybody's kind of holding their own, really.
You're absolutely right. We're just going through these agents.
Yeah, pretty much everybody's doing the same sort of thing, right?
I mean, interestingly, we were looking at Slough last week, and
Yes.
there was an agent who was fifth or sixth in 1919, and they were just a nice steady. Ooh, yeah. Okay.
I heard that one. It was Oakland or something from memory, but yeah.
Oh, look at you! Check you out. See, someone does listen to the show.
Yeah, it's me. Listen, I say that, Chris, because I think it's always good to learn new information and to learn about new different places. And that's one of my favorite features is this little bit, because you can't always know every part of the country. So getting a snapshot insight into a particular town, I think is great. So here's an example of a business who has actually declined in share over the last few years.
That's hard. I mean, I
Yeah.
don't know if, I mean, a lot hard to pull back from a lot of
They
physical
have.
activities, haven't they? So
Yeah,
we
they
don't
have. So
know.
that could be an example of that. Well, if they have, it's clearly had an impact on their share.
Bowater Drennan, again. There you go. Concentric, let's have a look. That's Sally Lawson's business. There's slight growth there. I know they're more famous for their lettings.
Yes, they are.
We'll just have a quick look at everyone else. Whitegates,
Similar.
Paul Durbeley. Webb's, Taylor's is
Yeah,
two.
really interesting. There's just nobody who's growing massively and nobody who's declining massively, maybe outside of Heart. And Purple Bricks, I suppose, is the other one.
Okay, I know we just got some smaller stuff there. Okay, all right. So let's just have a. Well, let's just. We said that we'd look at the upper quartile. So, well, we're not sure where this is going to be. So let's just have a look. Okay. So I tell you what. Let's go 750,000. So 20,000. Wow. Well, there's not many. Okay,
No.
we'll go 500,000.
Yeah. There
So
you go. Very many eaten as we anticipated. Yeah.
yeah, they let's just have a look and see what how
That's their bag.
okay. Again, these are gonna because the numbers are they're gonna be a lot more spiky.
Yeah.
So we're looking for
Yeah.
general trends here.
Yeah.
But again, these are such low numbers. But it looks like Berryman, Eton are the kings and queens of the posh bits in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's particularly interesting. Let us now just take that off. Let's just look at general stock levels so we can pull up the stock levels. Again, what we'd like to do is we look at the whole month because then we can compare apples with apples. And you can see here that, and again, it's quite small on the screen, is this that there were 842 properties for sale in Wolverhampton in April 22. And now it's 1,552, which means, if you're up against, Mr. and Mrs. Miggins, you need to be realistically priced. Are you aware that there are 40, whatever the percentage is, 40, 45% more homes today for sale than there was? So again, I think that's just important just to show
But
that.
it also talks to your point about it leaning more to a buyer's market today. So you got more stock on the market, more choice, which is great. We've needed that for some time. So yeah, really great to see that.
Good stuff. Right, let's now move on and look at.
Oh, I love this bit.
Okay, right, okay. So we're going to move the slider to there we go. So I'm looking, right. So ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of data here. So I'm just going to spend a little bit of time here just explaining what's happening. And just like Aussie gold hunters, the ones that's on Discovery, where you've got to pull out so much dirt to get the gold nuggets. Ladies and gentlemen, there is some pure gold in here that if you are the agents with the gold, you could use this to your advantage when you went up against your competitors. Okay, that's why I'm a massive fan of this. Okay, see, most of the estate agents here would look at the new instructions and the new instruction market share and sale agreed market share and be happy as Larry, but that's not where the gold is. Verona, I'm going to be coming to you in a minute. You know what's coming.
I do.
Analyze fall through rates and analyze price changes. So we are really looking here, ladies and gentlemen, at these four columns here. This is where the pure gold is. Okay. You see, and we're all obsessed about listings, obviously, and we're all obsessed about getting paid on what we do. And a property will only leave an estate agent's books if she exchanges or withdraws. Cannot, nothing else. If a sale falls through, just goes stays within your ecosystem and just goes back on the market. It hasn't, unless, as I said, it gets taken off the market. So if you think about it, what has actually happened here is in the postcodes that we have mentioned, Connells have it. So if you wanted to know how many properties have left their books, you would add 172 up to 314, and that would give you 486 properties have left Connells books in the last 12 months. Okay, of which 314 of them have exchanged contracts, and 172 or 35.39 have withdrawn and sold. The average for Wolverhampton is 62.27 in the last year. That is really good because the UK average at the moment is around 51 or 52%. Okay. So if you are actually looking at here, DB Roberts and Skits at 73%, whilst Berryman Eaton at 62. Now, again, I will just protect Berryman's just for a second. Higher price properties have a lower propensity to sell, so therefore their numbers will be slightly lower than the average because they deal with posh houses. Okay. And if I was Berryman's, you could go in, you could change the price band, and it would put a more of a level playing field. So we'll just show you on that, just so you're aware. Okay. So again, that produces more of a level playing field. Okay. So don't use that if you're using that up against everyone, ladies and gentlemen. I'll come round and give you a pair of stinging legs, as my mother would say. Right, there is massive difference here. Look, Peter James 58, Belvoir 52, Yopa 76. Well done on that one. That's one of the highest there. Bond Wolf at 70.
But also, if sorry, I've got to call this out because it's there. So Yopa at 76, but also at an SSTC rate of 96%. And I think if you take that the whole way along, fall through 21% below the average, price changes 50% around the average. Some really great numbers there. So I'm going to go back to Connell's right at the top, right? Because we talked about propensity to sell, and we know that the smaller or lower value properties are selling much better than higher value properties. And they were in the sort of 200K in Wolverhampton. Their SSTC rate is 70%, and their exchange rate is 64%. So slightly below the average on SSTC and slightly ahead of the average on exchange. And ahead on fall-throughs and also ahead on price change. So, this is a classic example of just because you're the biggest doesn't mean you're the best in terms of delivering for your customers. So I think there's quite a lot of call-outs on this data, which, as you rightly say, will help you massively when competing with your with the big boys in the lounge for the business.
Indeed. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the art here is not to say you have a 50% greater chance of selling or a 30% chance of selling. Is fear of loss is better than
Exactly.
to human. Is that if you have a 3 in chance set, you have a 5 in 10 chance or 1 in 2 chance of moving with that competitor, whilst with
Yeah.
others, you've got a 3 in 4 chance of moving. Which one do you?
And look at the fall through rate at Purple Bricks. If the average is 25%, their fall through is 44%. That's quite frightening. And their price changing is 64%. There is a huge amount of overvaluation going on there, I would suggest.
Well, we've got some screens which look at that in a second. You don't know what the stats are, so we'll come to that.
Yeah.
Anything else on this before we go and look at it?
What I would say, in fairness to Bury St Edmunds, you're absolutely right. It is tougher to sell the higher priced properties, but they clearly play in that space. An SSTC rate of 75% above the average. Yes, exchange is 62%, but there is a it's still absolutely in line with the average. I think some of those that data for that business is pretty damn good, to be honest.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, look at this. We've got some stuff in the early 80s. I know they're smaller agents, but it just shows you that the smaller agents use the fact that you're a small agent to.
Absolutely, use it to your advantage. Absolutely.
One of the lines which I like to use is this, when people are going up against different estate agents, is you say, yes, you could go with that particular estate agent that has 10 3-bedroom semis. But then the question is this, when they have that hot buyer, which one of the 10 are they going to choose? I
Absolutely.
mean,
Exactly.
you're the only 3-bedroom semi. So
Yeah.
therefore, by using me, it would be a privilege to represent you, not an expectation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Be an important customer, not just a number.
Before we go and look at the overvaluing screens, what I'm just going to spend is a couple of minutes now, Verona, just explaining how, if there are any Wolverhampton estate agents or letting agents watching this wanting more stock on the market, some ideas on how to get them more stock. So here we go. If you are a Wolverhampton estate or letting agent, how many times have you gone on to Rightmove and seen all the properties that you were never called out to? That is a big problem in the estate and letting agency. That you're losing listings even before you're called out to them. Well, my name is Chris Watkin. As you know, you've been watching this show about the property market, but my daytime job is not talking about UK stats and things like that. It is actually providing a solution to the problems that you have, which is being called out to more valuations and also battling other competitors when it comes to cheap fees and overvaluing. You see, I can help and guide and support you on your journey to get you more called out to more valuations and get you more listings at higher fees, both residential sales and residential lettings. How can I say that? Well, the simple fact is this, is that last year the Property Academy interviewed 10,000 homeowners who'd put their houses on the market, and 36% of them said that they chose their estate agent based on their local property market knowledge. Now, I've spent some time looking at most of your Facebook accounts in Wolverhampton, and most of you are publishing the same sort of content, which is listing, 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 listing. Look who we've sold. Look what we've sold. Here's a testimonial. Look at our market share. All that is doing is massaging your ego, but it is not attracting vendors and landlords to your agency. So if 36% of homeowners are looking, for an agent with good local market knowledge, then why don't you talk about the local property market to those people? And this is the service that I can provide for you. What I'm recommending is that you talk about the local property market to local people. So what I provide for only one agent per town, so in this instance, only one agent in Wolverhampton can have this service, is I will provide you hyper-local content on the Wolverhampton property market, both visually with graphics, but also in written format as well. So everything you see here comes with some form of written content that enables you to look like you know what you're talking about. So here, the average price paid for a Wolverhampton property. This could be your image with your estate agency logo that could be posted everywhere in Wolverhampton. We could be producing graphs like this. This shows you the hotspot areas of where all the properties are with the low A, B, and C EPC ratings, a different topic every time. We could talk about the number of homes that are sold. This could be a picture of you with your logo posted in local Facebook groups, showing you that you're the most knowledgeable estate agent in Wolverhampton and letting agent. We could produce content like this for you, different content every single week, two pieces of content on Wolverhampton every single week with stuff like this. Is it a buyer's market or a seller's market? This is backed up with a nice, big, meaty article, which goes into a lot of depth that talks about why the property market is a buyer's market or a seller's market. These are actual stats. We could also produce stuff like pounds per square foot. We could also make you look like you're knowledgeable about the whole of the UK property market by giving you stuff like this. And again, we give you the Canva templates, which means you can change the background color and put your logo on it. You could put the, you know, do bedrooms affect saleability. This color here could be changed to your color with your logo. How long does it take to sell a house or a bungalow? Again, your logo. Posting great content that makes you look like the thought leader, the go-to person in Wolverhampton. Now, I can only work for one estate agent or letting agent in Wolverhampton. The cost of this is absolutely reasonable. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. It's £350 plus VAT per month. I can only work for one agent in Wolverhampton. I can guide and support you on your, not only do I produce content, I will guide and support you on your journey with personal branding, with how to grow an estate agency, how to grow a blog. Basically, everything to do with growing a UK letting and estate agency, and in your case, in Wolverhampton. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the number two lettings and estate agency marketing guru in the UK. And it would be an absolute honour to work for one of you in Wolverhampton. So you can either have me with you or you can have me against you. The choice is yours. Anyway, back to the show. Thanks very much. Okay, we're back. And now we're looking at this screen here. And there is some amazing data here, ladies and gentlemen, which, again, you can't see that sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees. So this is what's happened. And there's a lot of detail here, but I'll explain it in the layman's terms. Right. So in the last 12 months, Connells have put on 572 properties, and whatever agency you are at is what you've put onto the market in the last year. 20 EA have an AVM, an automated valuation model. You might notice a Valpal figure or whatever figure that they have on that on your those properties. And then they will look at what you put the property on the market for versus what they think it's worth, right? And you can see here that Connells have overvalued by 2.37%. And we'll just briefly go through down the line. There appears that most of the agents in Wolverhampton do overvalue between 1.8 and 2.4%. Okay, so that's stage one. Stage two, this bit here, price achieved. What did you actually achieve for the property versus your original asking price? Okay, so therefore, a different set of properties, because these are your exchange ones. Some of them might be both, but you know. Connells have achieved 2.25% below the original asking price. So if you can imagine it, 2.37% over valuing, and 2.25% on the reduction between what it went on the market for originally and what it exchanged for. Now, percentages can be a little bit all over the place. So therefore, what we then do is we say, right, if everyone put on a £250,000 house, which you can see is here, what would each agent achieve for it? Connell's would achieve 250,170. Your move, 251. Berryman Eateman, 240. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, they deal with a posh end, so the numbers are going to be a bit slightly squee-whiff. So therefore, if again, if I was Berryman's, I'd be changing the prices here just to give you an idea, just to give you a flavor of just where you stand. Okay, we'll just keep going. Hold on. Because it's only fair I show this to you just to give a level playing field. Okay. And you can see here that in the posh agents there, Berryman's, they achieve a hell of a lot more for your posh house. Okay. So, again, don't be naughty there, boys and girls. Hold on. There we go. Skits 246, DB Roberts 248, Purple Bricks 243. You guys are at 246 at Yopa, which is decent. The average is 248. So again, if you were heads and shoulders above everyone else, you'd be picking the data which matches what you want. There's some decent numbers in there, but
Yeah.
yeah, and what is quite nice is that they're quite tight. We did actually a few weeks ago see another town where the variance was huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely
Yeah. It is really interesting when you look at this at a town by town level and you see significantly different data. So this is a classic example where the local data is much more valuable. And it's interesting, actually. So just looking down at the agents who have done the best job for their customers on price, of course, you have to then marry this information with how long it takes to sell, what proportion of what you're listing is actually selling. So on its own, it's only one data set. So you need to merge all the different pieces of data together to paint a picture to create a compelling argument for yourself in the lounge. But you mentioned Sally's business earlier, Concentric, and they're achieving on average in that type of property £6,000 more. Belvoir are achieving £4,500 more, and Paul Dubberly £9,000 more. So on that particular metric, they are performing very, very well. But what's really interesting is that generally in Wolverhampton, most agents are overvaluing. You say overvaluing in inverted commas compared to the AVM, roughly about the same kind of level and achieving roughly around the same level. There isn't, apart from those that I mentioned, no real standout performers one way or the other. So I think that's a really interesting dynamic in Wolverhampton.
It is interesting when we looked at Slough the week before, there was one agent that valued really tight, but actually got, when you actually worked out, quite a few grand more than their competitors.
More because they're selling the pricing to sell, and that is more and more evidence of the fact you get the price right to start with, you increase the demand, and you then are in a better position to achieve a better price for your customer.
Indeed. Right. Let's just this is Wolverhampton, and it just shows you the new instruction levels, which again, it gives you a flavor. The dips are always the Christmas, and again, just the nice to see. And you can dive in on this sort of thing. And then the this particular graph here, the red line shows the average asking price each month going back to 2019, with the green line, which is the average exchange price. Notice how, as I said, things have been leveling off slightly in terms of what's coming on the market. And again, there's always going to be a gap. Although,
It's interesting that that gap is increasing again, in very much in line with the national picture that we looked at, Chris. If you look, earlier years, there was a much tighter relationship between those two trend lines.
so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The average price that you're putting on the market in Wolverhampton in April was 268, but the one that you've exchanged on is 217.
Yeah, that's quite a gap. Proportionately, it's quite a gap.
And a lot of people say, how do you know the exchange data? Well, 20A do all the stats for all the conveyances, and therefore they know when a property exchanges, and they've got all the details. They match the two up. So I think that's particularly interesting. Just have a quick look at some of this data here. So as I said, that this is the And hybrid agents are what you would class as agents like yourselves, Purple Bricks, Yopa, and also the EXPs and self-employed agents. And again, most of this reduction from 21 to 24 can be put at the door of Purple Bricks because you guys are doing really well, and so is the likes of EXPs.
Yeah, EXP are doing a cracking job. Good on
And
them.
it just shows you the fall through rates in Wolverhampton, much lower than they were a couple of years ago. And 63 days to from new instruction to sale agreed. In fact, let's dive in and just have a quick look, and you can actually see which agents. So again, you've got Bond Wolf. That I mean, look at that. That's
Wow.
yeah. But let's just see the size. Are they a baby agent? They are a baby agent.
We have, yeah, they are 16. There they are right there. 16.
Okay. So
Yeah.
that. Okay. So.
Still top 20.
That's. That
Good
is.
on them. They're doing something, right?
I'd love to know what they are doing to
Oh,
get a
yeah.
sale agreed to
Be
put
interesting to
on.
see what their price accuracy is, because we didn't actually come across that one. There we are. So they are. Oh, interesting. Oh, there must be some sort of a
Are they a new website?
an auction type model. It's something different. It's not the norm. Might be new homes, actually. It's either auction or new
It's
homes.
auctions.
Yeah, it makes more sense that it's
It's
auction,
auctions.
definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, because the price achieved is exceeding. And that would also account for the time frame.
So therefore, that's why we weren't aware of that, but we found that out through analysis.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so let's just look at the main core high
Yeah.
street agents. It looks like you move seem to be selling, getting people through in, well, what would this be? Around, there you go, 169 days. Whilst Berriman Eaton
Yeah.
and Eaton,
Two,
231
three,
days.
one.
Okay.
No, two, six.
And again, some agents
There's a
don't.
real variance.
That is quite a variance. But some
Yeah.
agents do hold off instructing a solicitor until, say, surveys back. So I like to look at
Yeah.
them independently, but also in combination as well. So quite a bit of
Yeah.
there. So again, if I was an agent and someone's looking at a quick sale, then your move or Sanders, Wright and Freeman are your
Yeah.
are
And
your.
that's the thing, right? Whenever you are having a conversation with a seller in a lounge, what are your goals? What is important to you? What do you want to achieve? Do you want to achieve maximum price? Do you want to achieve a move in a particular time frame? What are the things that are important to you? And then you can use the data that you've got to evidence why you are better than anybody else, or if you're not, then get better than anybody else. But you're using the data to, I guess, challenge their thinking around a particular assumption about a particular agent using data.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to get data from these 20A guys, then watch a couple of the shows and listen to the likes of myself and special guests each week, because it's like most things is that the data, it's how you use the data. We said
Yeah.
that earlier on. So again, isn't this interesting that in the last year, as I said, it takes an average 79 days from new instruction to sale agreed. So that's April 23 to April 24. Then if we go and look at April 22 to April 23, it took an average 49 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, isn't it interesting that the conveyancing time has gone from 132 days down to 119 days? So
Yeah.
conveyances are getting quicker, and that
Yeah.
mirroring across the whole of the UK. Okay.
Yeah. I think to be fair, Chris, if you took that data over this year, there'd be a significant reduction in that, as in 2024. So you're blending the second half of last year, which was disastrous from a new instruction to SSTC, and this year, which has increased significantly. So the merging of the data sets are probably not giving a fair picture on where we're at
There it
today.
goes. Fair point. Valid point. Okay, now we're going to look at the lettings data. Okay, so again, we are looking at between January 2019 and the May the 5th, 2024. First thing we're going to do is look at stock levels. Okay, so again, you can see here we'll go full month that in April 2019, a total of 871 properties came up for rent. What's 527, and you can see here that the dips they're quite marked actually.
They are
They are
definitely.
a bit more than normal. We have seen a drop in the available rental stock, but those are quite marked. The West, I don't think I've got the, I'll have to check, dig out the West Midlands stats, but they're not, I don't think the drop's as much as that.
Interesting.
Okay, let's go and have a look at, now this might be interesting, is it the average rent? We'll just rough and ready it. So the average rent in 2019 was £634 in Wolverhampton, and for the last year, again we'll go there roughly May, 950.
Wow.
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 Yeah.
That's a big jump. Interesting.
What is particularly interesting is this, and again, I know you know this stat, but in the UK, rents are still 4.8% cheaper in real terms, you know, after taking the inflation compared to 2016. You see, what you tend to find is this.
Really? That is surprising.
Now, there are some regional anomalies there. So, like in outer London, they're 11% cheaper in real terms. You see, what we've got to remember is
Wow.
that, okay, there are some like the Southwest where they've gone the other way, where they are a lot more expensive. And we've got some stats on that we shared them with the show a couple of months ago. But basically, what happened was is that rents hardly grew between 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, but we still had inflation, 2 or 3%. Okay, that was building up. Now we've had a big lump of inflation. Rents are coming back. So what you had is inflation was doing this, but rents were coming, and then you had, whoa, hey, up there.
It's
Still,
more recent.
4.8% cheaper in real terms. Now, again, I'm not saying, oh, you know, stop the doom mongers, but those are the simple facts.
And I think over the last couple of years, there's been much more evidence and opportunity for landlords to increase their rents. But prior to that, there probably wasn't the opportunity to do that. And we know landlords are always reluctant to have that conversation. And therefore, they're much happier with a steady, secure tenant rather than increasing their rents. So I can see how that kind of happened over the last few years, but that's quite a gap compared to what I thought it was going to be honest.
And what is particularly interesting is that when the ONS publish their average rent figures, what they do is they look at new rents, but also existing rents, whilst most of the indexes are on new rents. And what you're
Of course.
producing is like a two-tier rental market. And now the thing is that I think we have a responsibility to our landlords and tenants to raise the rents, obviously, because it's an investment. But also, if you're in a £900,000 house and you're sitting there at, say, 650, you know, that's quite a shock.
Absolutely. But what happens then whenever you eventually do want to get into buying to purchase? Because then the gap is much, much bigger for a mortgage, and particularly now. And maybe that's part of the driver because of the last few years, it hasn't been that big a gap because interest rates have been so low. But now interest rates are back to what is the new norm of 4% sort of. Then actually, the delta into paying for monthly mortgage versus paying for monthly rent is going to leap significantly. So it's a good argument for landlords and agents to encourage their landlords to increase rental.
Indeed. Right. Let's look. So the thing with rentals, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, is that you are looking, you a new property coming on the market is not necessarily a new landlord. What it is just a relet coming
A
up.
new tenancy. And there they are again.
I mean, look at that. Open rent over 20% of the market in Wolverhampton, and go back to 2019, and they were in single digits. That mirrors what's happening nationally. You see, interestingly, a lot of people, you know, if you ask a man or most agents, you know, are the number of rental properties dropping? And most would say yes, they are. But the actual fact is that rental properties are the number. The net figure is still growing. Yes, 43% more landlords are selling compared to pre-COVID. Yes, 20% less landlords are buying. But the simple fact is this, is that you can't take one away from the other because it's a percentage on different numbers. The simple fact is the net figure. I would say an awful lot of why agents are losing properties And moving to open rent, ladies and gentlemen. Now I
Yeah.
know some of that is going to be other agents putting them on at cheap prices because they don't want to pay right move costs. I know that.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not that much.
And the growth also, which is really interesting, and a threat if you're a letting agent, management agent, is if the growth in open rent who don't do property management means that we've got more and more tenancies that are tenant find only, and therefore landlords are self-managing their properties, which is means that the proportion that are going to use an agent for management is just decreasing all the time, which is not great for business either.
Indeed, indeed. Right, let's have a whiz through these agents. So you've got Your Move, Connells. That's quite strong for Connells. They
It
decent.
is, yeah.
Yeah, they
Yeah.
don't normally they don't have such a big letters, but Berryman Eaton, they're growing. Well done, guys.
Going to.
Sally at Concentric, nice and steady.
Yeah.
Northwood. Oh dear.
Oh,
Oh dear.
declined right down.
Okay. Dixon's. Paul
Reasonably steady.
Martin, Belvoir.
Wasn't expecting to see Belvoir decline, to be fair.
But again, they might have had a run where their tenants aren't moving out. So,
True. Yeah.
Rogers and
Yeah, it's a bit
Partners,
harder to read the data from the lettings point of view. Yeah.
Whitegates, Peter
Pretty steady.
James, Rent Me Now, like that name,
Have
Redstones. That's surprising
a
me.
look at
Okay.
what hard to do and seeing if it's matching their sales.
Good agent. Hart.
Looks a bit better in lettings than it is in sales, to be fair.
So again, it's a lot stickier though, aren't they? Martin & Co. Not sure what's happened there, guys.
Declined a bit there as well.
Harvey Baines. We'll just whiz through these because I know you'll be wanting to look at these, ladies and gentlemen. Barclays, Austin's, R&R. Hey, yeah, Pebble Brick's got a couple, not many, but a few. Royston
Yeah.
Lund. Now they're from Nottingham, so I don't know what they're doing over here, but never mind.
Maybe a little
LANA,
franchise.
Skits. We'll go down to number 30. Okay. There you go. Good stuff. Right then. Okay. That's your lot with regard to Wolverhampton. Thank you for all the agents that watched that. I hope you found that interesting. Final thoughts from Verona about what you've seen today.
So I think probably consistently encouraging overall. I think all the key indicators are in the right direction. Listings are solid, SSTC, good trajectory. Fall through is not going through the roof. The only red flag from my point of view is just overvaluing and pricing to sell, particularly as we are now entering prime time. So yeah, that would be my summary, but a positive one, very much a positive one.
Verona, as insightful as always, ladies and gentlemen, you can see why she's the boss lady of one of the biggest estate agency firms. Verona, exceptional as always. Always love you coming on the show. Your insight,
Thank you.
amazing.
Always love to be here. It's always good to chew the cud. I like it. Thank you for having me.
But more importantly, thank you, the viewer, for watching this. I hope you enjoy it. Each week, we like to come back with different stats and show you what's happening. I know there isn't that much change in the stats, but steady she goes. So we'll see you next week for week 19 of the UK Property Market Stats Show. At the end of the show, there is a playlist. And if you have a look at that, if you save the playlist, you might be able to get access to this show a day in advance because it gets uploaded to the playlist in advance. That's just the way it's unlisted, but it shows on the list on the playlist. So if you save that link, you should be able to get an advanced copy of it for next week. If those of you who are really into stats and want your data before the Friday morning launch on Property Industry Eye. Verona, thanks again for your beautiful insight and thank you for watching. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.